Plus, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. At least three people are in critical condition and 30 are hurt after a vehicle plowed into a crowd in line outside of a Los Angeles nightclub. Police say one of the patients had a gunshot wound and an investigation is ongoing. Captain Adam Vankerpen at the Los Angeles Fire Department.
On arrival, they found a large number of people waiting outside of a club. There was a vehicle who had drove through the people that were waiting in line. They drove through a taco stand, through a valet podium, and then through the crowd of people that were waiting to go inside.
President Trump is suing the Wall Street Journal for $10 billion over a story linking him to the late sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein amid a firestorm of questions. A spokesman for Dow Jones says it has full confidence in its reporting. CBS's Dick Brennan.
Trump has tried to downplay any friendship with the late convicted child sex offender. The administration released a memo last week saying that the infamous Epstein client list doesn't exist.
Premiums are set to spike for more than 24 million people who signed up for the Affordable Care, also known as Obamacare. CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPook explains.
KFF, a health policy research group, says the loss of some tax credits will drive up out-of-pocket payments by over 75%. The Congressional Budget Office projects at least 4 million people will lose their coverage.
A plane carrying over 200 immigrants arrived in Venezuela from Texas yesterday. CBS's Dana Jacobson with more.
10 Americans detained in Venezuela are returning home after a complex down-to-the-wire prisoner swap. El Salvador's president greeted the Americans during a layover yesterday. Three sources told CBS News former Navy SEAL Wilbert Joseph Castaneda was among the Americans released. Venezuela released the men in exchange for more than 250 migrants who the Trump administration deported to El Salvador's notorious mega prison. President Trump invoked an 18th century wartime law to quickly deport the migrants, who they accused of being Venezuelan gang members.
People are flocking to beaches as temperatures soar in many parts of the nation, but there's a shortage putting swimmers at risk. CBS's Nancy Chin.
We asked the National Park Service about staffing, but they didn't directly respond to our questions, instead saying lifeguard shortages are a nationwide concern many communities are facing.
The death toll from those July 4th Texas floods stands at 135, but it is expected to rise as the search continues for the missing. Hill County is prone to flash flooding, and there are questions over the initial response. At least 27 campers and counselors at Camp Mystic died. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 56. Some sunshine for Sunday and highs in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, upper 70s on your Monday. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Highs in the mid 80s, upper 80s Wednesday. Currently 72 degrees.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. We got some fun stuff lined up for you in this hour. Going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. A little later, Seth and I are going to debate, or not debate, but go over the top five things old school dads say versus things modern dads
say. Well, maybe
say.
It'll be a debate. I don't know.
It might be.
Turn into one.
All of that is coming up for you in a little bit, but right now it's a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. You know what that means.
Oh.
It is time for our Pet of the Week with the Southland County Humane Society. A big shout out to Denise and the gang over there. How are you doing, Denise?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning to y'all. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. We're doing good over here. Mm-hmm. How are things going over at the shop?
Very, very good. We're getting fuller by the day. We're almost full up on dogs completely, and the kittens keep rolling into it, but it's good.
That's very good. Really good to hear. Yes. Really good to hear. And I know that you guys have a big event coming up.
We do, yeah. Our 5K9 walk run event will be September 20th, and registration will be going live today. On our website, you'll be able to register through One Cause, but you can get that link on our website.
And, you know, Denise, for anybody that hasn't been a part of this event before or anything, can we just touch on what it is, event, absolutely, what people can expect and everything? It's a fun one.
It is. It's held at Lake Wazeecha. The walk is around the lake, so it's more than a 5K. I think they were going to add a plus to it because it's about 4.1 miles, but it's a really relaxed, non-timed event. You can bring your pets. There's food and music and all kinds of good stuff. Fun to be had.
Nice. It really is. We have a number of events similar to this in the area, and one of the cool things I think about them are for every person that wants to get ready for a marathon or something like that, you've got people that are going to just walk and take it at their own pace, and everybody's there for such a good cause.
Absolutely, yeah. All the proceeds benefit the shelter, and we have raffle prizes. There are sponsorships available, so if you're looking for that sort of thing, look at our website.
I cannot encourage you enough to check that out, everybody. And Denise also wanted to remind everybody about things that you guys can use over there. We always like to help out. And we know, different times of the year, there are different things that rise up a little bit more than others.
Yes.
In the summer, we're certainly always in need of, any kind of cat food or kitten food, things like that.
Correct. Yep. Cat food, kitten food is high on the list right now. We have a lot of kittens rolling in. We just took in two more litters this week that are both at foster. So any kind of adult cat food, any kind of kitten food, whether it be moist or dry, we are in need.
And if you can help out, we greatly appreciate that, everybody. Keep that in mind. We'll give you information on how you can reach out to the Humane Society before we're all done here today. Mm-hmm. Also wanted to remind everybody that when it comes to certainly items that you can drop off or pick up for the Humane Society, that helps. But also, there are things you could do around the shop, around the building that can help out as well, or with the animals.
Yep, absolutely. We take volunteers every day of the week, all 7 days, even when we're not open. We have volunteers scheduled. If you're interested, there's a link on our website to fill out the application, and we have a whole new revamped volunteer system.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to comment on that. I think that looks great, and it's really wonderful to see. And I know I've heard positive things about that.
Yeah, thank you. We want to make sure people they know what they're in for, so we want to make sure that they're fully trained before they come on site, and that everybody's happy and willing to come back a second time.
I was looking at, and I always like to have kind of a fun story to bring into the conversation with us and everything. It's, of course, animal-related usually, or Humane Society-related or something. I could not decide between a dolphin that was rescued from a shallow lagoon in South Carolina.
Nice.
Again, a dolphin in South Carolina.
Yep.
Anybody else just learning that dolphins could be in South Carolina? Because yes. I didn't know that. And a peacock captured that was on the loose in Pennsylvania. So I bring this up in part because I talk about animals in our Humane Society, but in both of these cases, the local Humane Societies were some of the first people called in to help out, to help these people, like, hey, there's a python.
Yeah.
a little help. A little help.
Yeah, right.
And people don't always know where to call, and oftentimes they will call our Humane Societies first. Now, it's not always that the Humane Society can help or has the ability to, but they usually know where to direct you, or at the very least to be able to call our, police or sheriff's departments or something like that, or here in Wisconsin, the DNR or something.
Absolutely, yeah. Always call if you have a question or you're not sure of who might be involved in that type rescue. We do have resources to give out. And if we don't have resources for exotic rescue or wildlife rescue, we have the dispatch number for Wood County, and we recommend that they call them. But don't be afraid to call us first. Mm. We can help.
I appreciate that. And again, we'll get you that information before we wrap up. An escaped sheep in Oregon. Like, I mean, just there's so many. The animals are on the loose, man.
They are.
On the loose.
We want to find you your new best friend, everybody. That's where we bring in a pet of the week every week. Denise, who's our pet of the week?
A little kitty called Pennywise. He was rescued from a storm drain a couple weeks ago. It made the Tribune News.
I get the name now.
Yep.
Storm drain.
Yes. Storm drain. Totally. Yeah.
Well done. Yep. Yes. Very well done.
Our office coordinator happened to be on site when that happened, and she called, fire and rescue. They had to lift the grate up and rescue this 2-month-old little male cat. He's a little afraid. I was going to bring him today, but he was not quite ready. A little skittish yet, but he's beautiful. He's like a light orange gray color. Just a little petite thing, but he's so friendly once he breaks out of his shell a little bit.
Really appreciate the work done there and bringing this little guy home and stuff and saving him. That I appreciate the work being done there.
Yeah, thank you.
Just as much the creativity.
Absolutely.
That's great. Billy.
Everything floats down.
Yeah, right? There's so many lines we could go with.
Yep.
A little guy, a small one.
Very small. Yeah.
So only 2 months old, still young. Yep. So there is certainly, potty training some of that might still be in the works.
Yes.
But also, that's also a really good thing because you're able to get them this young and be able to train them that young.
Exactly. Yeah. And cats are easier to potty train, as most people know. They're born with that innate, I have to go in the litter box like mom does.
Right.
But he's responding well. He's doing really good. He's been neutered. He's ready to go.
At that age, are they able to be chipped yet? Is there a certain age where you have to wait till with an animal? I've been curious about that, and I keep forgetting to ask.
I think we wait until they're 8 or 10 weeks. Cats and dogs both. Just we want to make sure that they have enough skin back there to hold it, and when they grow, it won't, grow out.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that. I will find out and let everybody know. I know we wait for puppies and kitties till they're old
makes sense
to get vaccinations and then chip.
Appreciate
very
that.
Nice.
And appreciate you bringing us Pennywise. Very, very a cute face. That's a very cute cat.
He's a sweet little baby.
A great coat, too.
Yeah.
A classic orangish coat. That's a great one.
Yes.
Good one to bring to us. And all kinds of other great animals over there. Your new best friend is waiting for you over at the Southwick County Humane Society. You can email them, office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. That is 423-0505. Reach out to them on their social media, Facebook page, share their posts and your page so other people can see them. And of course, you can stop by at 3621 64th Street North right here in Rapids. Bookmark their webpage, swchs.com. Reach out to them, find out more about Pennywise and other great ways and the great event coming up.
Yep.
Yeah, again, you can register through the website, like you said, Denise.
Right.
So head on over there to do that. We'll meet you over there for that great event coming up. We'll be talking about it here on the morning show and stuff too, and making sure you guys get a good turnout for that one.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
We'll talk again next Thursday. We'll have another Pet of the Week for you then. Everybody be listening for that right here at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR. So last week I got to spend the week at a camp in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina with about 70 high schoolers and about 20 other adults. It was a great experience. However, during the week, two of the part-time cooks walked off the job.
Oh, no.
After lunch, and some of us had to jump in to help.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Did they we got to give Beth content. We got to help her out with this.
It was very great. And while I don't condone what they did, it did give give me the opportunity to finally cook a big meal for a large group. I've always wanted to be one of the cooks.
Oh, very cool.
So I got the chance to do that. And the meal that we did was tacos. So one of the jobs I was tasked with was dicing onions for the toppings bar.
Oh my gosh, your eyes must be watering, Beth. Are you okay?
Not one bit, actually. I was able to use a kitchen hack I learned to save me the tears. I placed a wet paper towel by the cutting board, and as I diced, it drew in the oils from the onion, so I didn't have any tears, at least not from the onion. But it got me thinking about different tips and tricks that are out there to help in the kitchen.
Because there's no crying in the culinary arts.
Yeah, we're just going to let that one sit there.
Oh, come on. Come on. Don't cry. Unless Gordon Ramsay's your boss. Or, and there's lots of crying, right?
Yeah. Or at least not in front of the head chef.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Thank you, chef.
Yeah. So there are other kitchen hacks that I found on the Taste of Home website that may make cooking and baking a bit easier and possibly even more fun. So here are a few of them. Feel free to add as you want. Pit the cherries with a chopstick.
Huh?
Yeah. So you want to pit the cherries without a pitter. You put the cherry on top of an empty beer bottle or some. It can be a glass bottle. It can be a Coke bottle or whatever. Then use a chopstick or a reusable straw to push the pit right into the bottle.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Super handy and effective. And then all you have to do is dump out the bottle with all the pits in it.
It's like they collect the pits there. Nice.
Exactly.
Easy and handy. That's awesome.
Keeps things clean and nice. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a great hack.
Very cool.
You can also keep brown sugar soft with marshmallows. I did not know this one. So if you're a baker, you know that if you don't use your brown sugar in a certain amount of time, it gets rock hard.
Right.
And it's hard to separate. So if you place a few marshmallows into the container of brown sugar and tightly seal it, it softens the sugar in a day.
A day?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you can keep the marshmallows in the container for up to a few weeks.
Nice.
So you never have to have hard brown sugar again. It's just one of the genius ways to keep brown sugar soft.
Cool.
So, I've always known the trick about putting bread in with a cookie container so that your cookies don't get hard.
Yep.
Because the cookies will then take the moisture out of the bread. Right? Mm-hmm. I never thought about doing that with
that
brown
makes sense,
sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, other than marshmallows, if bread could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of the ways.
I was going to say it's worth a try.
Yeah.
So there
Someone
you go.
Should do that and let us know. That'd be cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can simmer tomato sauce with a carrot.
Yeah, this is wild to me. But I'm all ears.
All right.
So usually, if you look at most marinara sauces and pasta sauces in the grocery store, they always add sugar because sugar is what helps to cut the acidity in it. If you want to go more natural and not add the extra sugar, carrots take away the acidity in tomato sauce by adding a subtle sweetness.
Oh, wow. That totally makes sense.
You're not using the processed sugars. It makes it a little bit healthier. If you find your sauce has gotten too acidic, peel a whole carrot, simmer it with the sauce, and remove it before serving. So you don't even have to keep the carrot in the sauce itself.
That's
really
cool.
I want to try that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That sounds amazing. Wow.
It's amazing the kind of things that you can find out there. You can cube butter to soften it faster. I know this has happened to me where I've forgotten to take the butter out of the fridge or last minute I'm like, oh, I want to make banana bread. But you have to have room temperature softened butter to be able to make the recipe properly. So if you forget to do that, take it out of the refrigerator like I do. There are a couple of things you can do. You can soften butter quickly by cutting the butter into cubes and letting it sit on the counter for 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then during that 20 minutes, you can be preheating your oven. You can be prepping your other ingredients, that kind of thing. So it doesn't really add too much more. Or one of the things that I found is you can use a cheese grater and you grate the butter into the bowl and let it sit for a little while.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
So the whole reasoning behind it is the smaller the pieces, the faster it will soften because it doesn't have to do the whole thing at once.
That's right.
More surface mass, so it adds a little bit more opportunity for things to melt.
Science!
Exactly. Science is our friend. You can cut steak fries with an apple slicer.
This one's cool. I like this one.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about this.
One.
I have an apple slicer. We use it at home all the time.
Yep.
Great for coring apples. But if you're craving scratch-made potato wedges from your favorite restaurant, you can use it as well. All you need to do is cut one end of the potato for stability and then push the apple slicer through.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
going to try this.
Perfect sense.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so going to try this at some point.
And then all you have to do is add your favorite seasonings and you're ready to bake. And it doesn't just work with white potatoes. You can use sweet potatoes as well.
Ooh, sweet potato fries. Nice. Yeah.
So, and if you have an air fryer,
there you go.
Easy healthy peasy. Alternative. Mm-hmm. Healthy alternative. Mm. Absolutely. You can use a damp dish towel to keep bowls steady.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You need that extra hand. I never thought about it. I always tried to find the bowls that had the plastic or the rubber on the bottom. That it keeps it in place. Well, professional chefs will tell you that a damp dish towel under your mixing bowl will keep it from slipping and sliding on your counter as you mix.
This is one of those most obvious things. It's like, why didn't I think of this? Oh my gosh.
Like, I love hacks of all kinds. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying this, Beth. You did some great work here. Every once in a while, they anger you a little. Like,
it's that hand slap to the forehead kind of thing. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it works with cutting boards too.
Oh,
so if you don't want those going away while you're trying to cut things, which is much safer for your fingers.
Yes.
Mm. Keep that in mind. Yeah. You can lower egg temperature to room temperature in warm water.
Mm, okay.
So when you're baking, it's important, again, to use the room temperature ingredients like the butters, unless the recipe specifically calls. Like if you're making a pie crust, you want that butter as cold as possible.
Right.
But if you're baking with the butter, you want it warm. It's the same with eggs. You want to have those at room temperature. But if you forget to take your eggs out of the fridge in time, you don't have to worry. Just place them in a bowl of warm water for a few minutes.
Makes sense.
And that'll
raise
that internal temperature of the egg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't put it in boiling water because then you're going to have hard-boiled eggs and you can't really bake with it. So make sure
darn it, why
warm.
Isn't this working?
I've gone through a whole dozen.
I know. You can store peanut butter jars upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get, like, especially the natural peanut butter, and you know how you have to keep mixing that oil in.
Yep.
And that oil is usually at the top, and it becomes a pain to try to get the bottom stuff up. Just store it upside down with a lid down. And then when you're ready to use it, then you turn it right side up, and that makes it easier to stir the oil back in.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional peanut butter eater, I learned this one a while back.
Really?
That's a good one,
I didn't
too.
Know all the science behind it or anything, but I do remember doing this.
We did because of Anders' peanut allergy. We use butter for him, and it's, a lot of it comes that way where you have to do that, so you have to tip that one upside down.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. You can prep your cheese grater with cooking spray.
Oh, nice.
Again.
Yeah, again.
Totally makes sense. Absolutely.
It's like, why didn't I think of this before?
Oh,
so grated cheese really makes the difference, but it can be a pain to prep. And you can buy it store-bought, but you know that they put those additives in it to make sure that it stays separated.
Mm-hmm.
So for easy cleanup, you can use a quick spritz of your cooking spray on your cheese grater to keep the cheese from sticking.
Wow. See, I got to try this one now. Because we've been doing that lately. If we shred cheese, we just get a block of cheese and shred it. And it can make a mess.
And you
with
leave
little
some
shreds.
Of the cheese there, so you're not really getting
the
full quality
of
the
cheese
that
right?
you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's, I'll totally trying this one.
And then you can use the same hack with measuring spoons. So if you're measuring something sticky like honey or molasses,
of course,
quick spray of the cooking spray. It won't stick. You'll get all of that into your recipe rather
like
than
that.
Some of it sticking there.
That's a good one.
Again.
Good.
This makes me want to cook.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
There can be fun in the kitchen.
Yes.
Can be fun in the kitchen. And if you need extra storage space, because we all know what it's like to try to store pots and pans and containers and all of that.
Get a bigger kitchen. No.
If you have room in your kitchen, you just moved in.
Like that's exactly,
the only
right?
time you have room in your kitchen.
Well, and there's more space than you think about it. If you open up your cabinet drawer and place hooks on there, you can either screw them in or you can get like the 3M that you stick on there.
The command center
hooks. And then you can put your spoons or your pot holders, your measuring spoons, extra gadgets right there on the door.
Very cool.
So that adds a little bit more space.
And it gives me a chance to put up more hooks.
You can never have too many hooks.
I like hanging.
I love the idea of James looking for ways, but I need more hooks up.
I like hanging things on walls.
There you
go. Like this.
And these are kind of hidden, so it's like you can surprise yourself every time you open the cabinet. Yes, that's where I put it. Right. So you can microwave lemons before juicing.
Huh.
Did you know that? And
well, I haven't juiced many lemons in my life, but that totally makes sense. Soften it up a little bit.
Or if you're making lemonade, you can get more juice out of it. So the next time you need that fresh lemon juice, maybe for one of the lemon recipes, Taste of Home has great recipes. I highly recommend heading to that website. But you can try a restaurant tip. They do this in restaurants. So you microwave the lemon for about 7 to 10 seconds, then roll it back and forth under your palm on the counter.
Oh.
That also helps to break down some of the fibers to release the juice.
Gotcha. Wow.
When you squeeze, you'll get more juice from the lemon with way easy effort.
Mm.
You can do it with limes, too. And here's the other thing. We're going to talk about lemons in just a little bit. You want to make it easy, even easier? Cut, instead of cutting the lemon in half, like most of us mm-hmm. see, and then you have to deal with the seeds and all of that, take a skewer, a knitting needle, a chopstick, or any tool of your choice, and poke a hole through the non-stem end of the lemon.
Oh, yeah, that totally yeah. makes sense. Yes.
And then you can just squeeze out that stream of lemon juice.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's great.
No more of that extra on the counter or trying to pick out the lemon seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You got it all taken care of.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a good one.
Mm.
And this last one that I have from the website, we have a plethora, and I love using that word too, of pizza cutters in our house.
Oh my gosh, we have so many.
Right? Yeah. And they're a great tool for pizza, but they can be used for more than that. Mm. You can use them, again, spray them with some cooking spray. Mm-hmm. You can use it to cut your pie crusts if you need to do that. If you want to make a lattice or something like that, you can also use it for cutting herbs in all your directions. All you have to do is bunch up those herbs and wheel back and forth until you've reached your desired consistency.
Again, man.
It's been sitting right there in the drawer
the whole time
for you. Like, and I
do more than pizza.
I hate when an item takes up a ton of room, but you barely use it.
Yes.
Right.
And pizza cutters, you just don't, you use once a week, maybe, if that.
Right.
And so I like the idea of finding other uses for that. That's really good.
This is the Church of Alton Brown, that you need, anything you buy needs to have multiple uses in the kitchen.
That's so mean.
You should never buy anything just for one thing.
True.
There's always something you can use for more than that. Yeah.
And
I love
so
that.
These are just a few. The Taste of Home article had 57.
Oh, jeez.
kitchen hacks.
And the edited version.
I just picked and chose some of the ones that I thought were very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. You can just type into your whatever search engine you use, kitchen hacks.
Mm-hmm.
There are YouTube videos. I don't know how true they are, so I would say test it once.
Sure.
And if it works really well, then keep going with it.
Fun to experiment in the kitchen, right? Yeah.
A video that I saw that they had a contest on Taste of Home, they were able to line a loaf pan, like when you make meatloaf or have banana bread or something like that. And it can be hard getting the aluminum foil right. Instead of trying to do it inside right away, wrap it around the outside.
I think I saw.
Then you flip it over and put it inside, and it's already the shape you need it to be.
Oh my gosh.
That was the winner of their contest.
That's a great idea. Oh my gosh. Fantastic.
And we love cooking hacks.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That's a great list and a great article. Thanks for
telling us. If you have any, please let us know. You can email us. You can text us using the Civic Media app. Let us know what your favorite ones are. Mm. You can email me, beth.habhager@civicmedia.us. Love to hear if you have suggestions about what you want to hear on the show. I want to know what those are. So let us know. You can also find us at the Plover Days. We're going to be having a booth there.
Oh, that's right.
That's July 26th.
Saturday the 26th. Yep, you got it.
So come find us there and let me know. So it's been fun sharing tips about the kitchen and cooking this morning, but I'd love the opportunity to share more about a business as a sponsor of this segment. So not only will you be mentioned during the show, your business will also be highlighted in our weekly newsletter, and I'll have the link to the article that I found all these hacks on next week's newsletter. And there is also an option to be interviewed or have us broadcast live from your business.
It's always a lot of fun. For more information about these opportunities, give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with our sales team to work out all the details.
I have to be honest, I'm a little upset that Seth got to say the line about that there's no crying in culinary arts. I've been pouting all morning
about it.
I just got to get it off my chest. He did a great job with it. He delivered it better. That number, again, is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right. That was a fun one. That was a lot of fun.
That was great, Beth. Thank you so much. And appreciate you being able to get back here with us and all that. We look forward to hanging out with you again next week.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll have another edition of The Kitchen's Open next Thursday for you, everybody. Stick around. We got more coming up, more in store right here at The Morning Show.
Tell me something good.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
30 people are hurt after a vehicle rammed into a crowd in Los Angeles early this morning. Police say they were waiting to enter a nightclub and some are in critical condition.
They drove through a taco stand, through a valet podium, and then through the crowd of people that were waiting to go inside.
President Trump is suing the Wall Street Journal over a story linking him to the late convicted sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. CBS's Michael Toscano.
The libel lawsuit seeks at least $10 billion in damages. It says the Journal's story about a sexually themed 2003 birthday card allegedly sent to Epstein bearing the future president's signature is, quote, false, defamatory, unsubstantiated.
More than 24 million Americans under the Affordable Care Act are facing a crisis. CBS's Dr. John LaPook with an expert.
Is this the equivalent of an Affordable Care Act repeal?
Yes, absolutely. By one estimate, enrollment will be cut in half.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. The Brewers beat the Dodgers last night in L.A. 2-0. The crew have now won 8 in a row. They remain a game behind the first-place Cubs, who beat the Red Sox 4-1 at Wrigley Field. The Brewers' Caleb Durbin with a big night for his first time in Dodgers Stadium, an RBI double, and a solo home run shot in the 7th. Pitcher Quinn Priester, fans Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman to start the game on the way to 6 innings and 77 pitches with 10 strikeouts. The Brewers have now beat the Dodgers 4 in a row heading into tonight's game. Manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, we've played a bunch of close games against them. Things have went our way, so it helps you prepare a little bit because you're used to it. You know who's hot and who's not. You know who might be a tick off their game, and you might make a decision because, well, you know what? So-and-so's not swinging like he normally does, so we can attack him here differently.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 56. Some sunshine for Sunday and highs in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, upper 70s on your Monday. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday. Highs in the mid 80s, upper 80s Wednesday.
It's 73 at our studios.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Janet Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Little War in Summertime to play Seth and I
nice
in.
Nice groove, yeah.
Song is so nostalgic to me. Immediately think of being in my dad's Monte Carlo on a hot day going down, you know, old road or whatever. That immediately was brought back to that as soon as I clicked that bumper. Mm-hmm. And speaking of dads... We all know that dads can be a little bit, some, you know, more emotional than others, of course, and everything. Well, in a new poll, more than 1 in 3 people said a simple thumbs up from their dad was a sign of both love and support. Just the thumbs up.
Nice.
Says a lot.
It does. I agree.
49% said that their dad would describe himself as, quote, not good at emotional stuff.
And say exactly that way, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that way. And women were more likely to receive an I love you from dad than men.
Mm-hmm.
But many dads just have their own subtle, heartfelt way of expressing their feelings. Mm-hmm. And it's being called dad speak. Because we have to label everything.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing. Yep, got to label it.
To demonstrate dad speak, here's a list of the top ways dads show affection.
Okay.
The top ways we do this, in no particular order.
All right.
Being there when you need him, even without saying much.
There you go. That's a good one. Yep. Right.
Trying to pay for things. Certainly you can't, money can't buy love, can't buy happiness or anything, but sometimes it can also buy a lot less stress.
Absolutely. You're so right there, but it's a gesture. It's the thought, right? It's a kind of a gift, and that's what it means to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fixing things. Yeah. That's it.
You know, dads can take that overboard. I'm not talking about fixing physical things. Yeah, because being a handyman, I still do it. You know, I still do that kind of stuff. But it's like trying to fix like emotional things and stuff that you can go overboard. So be careful with trying to fix things.
Sometimes. One of the better things you can learn as a human being for other human beings is that more times than not, when somebody is venting or talking to you, they just want you to listen.
That's all they want.
They don't need you to try to fix things.
No.
They would have asked for that.
Yep.
They didn't. How did it start? Did it start with "I need help with this," or "Oh my God, you won't believe this"?
Yeah,
you know, like listen to a person, and you really.
I know it's hard. It's hard not to do it. I've had to learn that myself.
Yeah,
I mean, it's hard because you don't want them to feel bad. You don't want them to, you know, have these emotions. Not because you don't like emotions. They said they're bad emotions. You know, you want to help them with that, but sometimes you just can't do it. You just got to be there to listen.
Driving you places. Yeah.
Yes, ask my oldest son about that the weekend, since he can't drive yet.
Yeah. It's one of those. It's one of those. Offering to lend you tools or equipment. That's a big one with my dad.
All right. See, that's how they showed his affection that way.
My dad values his tools so much.
If
he borrows something to my brother or I,
right,
you better bring that thing back. And if you don't, that's fine, but he ain't ever going to forget it.
Oh, and you're going to hear about it probably every time you see him. Yeah.
There's literally nothing else with my dad. A shirt, a baseball card, doesn't matter. But his tools,
very important.
Yeah. helping with your kids or pets. Being a grandpa.
Oh, or hey, yeah, absolutely.
Helping you move, grabbing you a drink if you need one, or food if you need it, those things. And forwarding you useful links on or news or stuff like that.
Right.
Which wraps up the list. Now, here's the thing about this list. And I looked at one that was very similar about moms.
Oh, okay. Sure.
And with moms and how they show affection, a lot of it is worded or physical
or
touch.
Physical touch, right.
A shoulder, a hand on the shoulder, some of those things. There is also a lot of the notes in your lunch bag, you know, those kind of things. There's a lot more of that involved.
Right.
Dads are giving you just as much emotion. They are just showing it in a different way.
Yes. Acts of service. Almost everyone that you said here was an act of service, which is an act of love. That's what it is.
Most dads want to feel useful. Most dads is what a lot of this comes down to. And the way that they show love. And this isn't obviously every man, every or anything
no,
like
no, no,
that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But the majority of us, that's how we show love is by let me be useful. Let me do the dishes. Let me do this. Let me take the garbage out. Let me do that. That's every time we're doing those things, every time we're giving a thumbs up, we're screaming, I love you. We're screaming, I care about you.
It's true.
There's just not men were not built with this. We are built in a society that has men and women looked at as certain ways and treated ways. And that ain't, whether that's right or wrong, you guys, smarter people can go ahead and figure that stuff out. I'm more focused on today.
Yeah.
And modern modern dads, modern moms, and a lot of that.
I think about where I grew up, like physically where I grew up and the people that I grew up around. And there's not a lot, even with a lot of the women, there's not a lot of physical contact in that culture. Doesn't mean they don't love people as, you know, any less than anyone else does. It's just not as common, you know? So as I have become a father and wanting to show more affection, you know, it's almost like you're allowing yourself to just, you know, allow yourself to, you know, hug your kid a little bit more or, you know, or praise them a little bit or whatever it is, right? That's something I've had to learn because I grew up in a culture where it just didn't happen as much. It just, that was just part of where we were and how we grew up.
When it comes to I think the grace that we should have as kids with our dads and moms and everything as we are growing into this, think about your great grandparents or some of them. There was no class. Okay, today we're going to teach you how to hug.
Right.
Today we're going to teach you how to care about your kid.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
There's no blueprint on this. We're all just trying to figure it out as we go along.
Absolutely.
And two older generations that literally, like my mom's dad, my grandfather. I'm not sure he really knew how to hug. This man was one of the greatest attorneys in Chicago. He fought in two wars.
Sure.
Was an incredible father for four daughters.
Yep.
And I don't believe he could. If you asked him to hug you, I don't know if he would. All right, wait a minute. Put my arms here.
Where do I put my arms?
I can't be more literal about this. Like, whereas a man his same age, my papa, my dad's dad, was very affectionate and wanted to push back on that because he didn't come from a family of that.
Right.
But still didn't know how to do it. Like, there was no blueprint. So we're teaching each other generation by generation and trying to get better about this. And to any pushback that this makes generations softer, I question your definition of hardness, of strength, of what real true, you want to use this terminology, manliness is.
Sure.
Because I will tell you, I grew up around veterans. I grew up around athletes. I grew up against all the definitions of manliness
is. Yeah.
Construction workers, blue collar to the core. And every one of these people I'm talking about, even my grandfather that I'm talking about, were able to tell their kids they love them.
Right.
We're able to at least express some kind of things for the most part. Mm-hmm. At least we're trying to.
Yeah.
I will put my toughness up against anybody. That's such a silly argument to me. This idea that men aren't the men that they weren't used to or not. Well, for one side note, who raised those men?
That's a great point.
Like anybody complaining about the younger generations and they're not tough enough, they're not strong enough. Who the heck raised them? They didn't raise themselves. Like you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like you have a problem with this. Or
exactly.
Something. It's ridiculous. You're basically blaming yourself.
Yeah. Obviously, no self awareness there at all.
And I don't know what I see a lot of the younger generations handling. The way I see them adapting, they seem pretty strong to me. Mm-hmm. Seem pretty tough to
me.
Seem
all right.
I encourage people to be more graceful to each other with this stuff.
Absolutely.
As far as emotions and all that, because it's messy. It's muddy, and there is no blueprint.
No, emotions can get emotional.
Yeah. We will take... I really wanted to just go to write a break on that. I didn't want to laugh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. That was great. It's a great line. We'll be back after our news, sports, and partner break. We got some more fun coming up for you, everybody. We're going to get the FCC's attention with the most and least offensive swear words.
All right. Yeah.
We'll see if we lose our job. We come back and have some more fun in the morning show.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. I know that growing up, one of the things I there was a couple of little things that I used to do that would just wow my brother and sister, like playing spoons. Doing that, or the thumb trick where you make your thumb disappear.
or you separate your two fingers.
That's what I'm saying. So I can picture their faces right now, them just sitting there and entertaining them when while we were trying to figure out how to get cable or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as they got older, they of course realized, oh, my brother's not magic. my brother's,
it's not that hard.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where we're going with this next article. We all know that feeling. You're hanging out on the porch, hanging out, and all of a sudden your friend comes out and says, hey, you know what? I can breathe fire. And maybe that's just my friends. That's seriously something that happened to me. Shout out to my buddy Steve. We're sitting out on this porch, just hanging out, and all of a sudden Steve's like, hey, by the way, I've been learning to breathe fire. And just started to do it in this front yard. And it was amazing.
Oh, my.
He's very good at it. He's really talented. And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, don't just try that one without some training.
But once Steve told us what he did and how he trained and how he learned to do it, it actually didn't seem that difficult. And ooh. I think that there's some kind of things like that, these wow skills that are kind of actually easy to learn once you figure it out. But it doesn't take away the wow factor, I think. If anything, I hope these things incentivize people to try them themselves or try something themselves. Like origami. I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It does take practice. It's there's definitely a learning curve for that one.
It's certainly going to be people that are better at it than others, but definitely one of those things that if you really want to, I think that if you practice and work at it, you can probably learn to do.
Oh, yeah.
Magic is another one. Like that. And I don't know that we're talking about you being, David Copperfield or something, but maybe.
Yeah, but
you know,
like card tricks or.
Yeah.
Hiding a rabbit in a hat.
I had a character that had to learn how to do the whole quarter out of your ear thing, and learned how to do that for that.
Cool.
Lock picking. No. I don't care if you're even doing it to your own house. Like, this is only a skill that is going to lead to bad things. I don't ask me how I know that. I'm just telling you. That's, I'm sure, one, too. Here's a great...
And I think it's one that we've all, wanted to do as kids.
Oh, God,
reading,
yeah.
Spy stories,
yes.
And adventure stories. I want to learn how to pick locks.
Yeah, absolutely. Any kid that's watched your size, 100% there. I like this one. And this is one that I've actually been doing my whole life. Learning the sky. Stars and constellations at night, and even being able to provide a basic weather forecast by looking at cloud types and formations. I don't know if Brittany realizes this or not, but that's one of my favorite things about talking to her. It's kind of just like picking up these little things that she touches on. She's so sharing of information and how she knows these things and how she learns these things.
Oh, yeah. She's so knowledgeable when it comes to all of the different things that go into why we have the weather we have. And I love how she explains it.
I loved being able to take my kids out, actually not too far from here, where our old apartment was. And we'd go out at night, and just point at the constellations and being able to say, that's the Big Dipper or something like that. Like, it just, I love that kind of thing.
Yeah. When we were kids, my dad took us up on the roof a couple times, and it was a really clear night, and we'd lay up there and look at the stars. It was cool.
balloon animals. You can pick it up in a few hours and be the life of any family party with kids. It seems a lot. That one seems tough to me. I don't say impossible by any means.
Yeah,
but it does
it's
seem
like
tougher
origami.
Than...
It's the practicing. And, you know, the hardest thing, the first thing you have to figure out and learn how to do is blow up the dang balloon.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought
of
that.
Or you have one of those little pumps.
Right. Yes. Yes. Basic clothes mending and altering. You don't need a sewing machine for a lot of it. And I kind of back off from the mic on this one for you, but listen, this is more your wheelhouse. This is more.
Well, it's actually something I've been really getting into here recently. I do have a sewing machine, but there is a fair amount that you can do just hand stitching. It does take more time, but all you need is a needle, thread, and the scissors, and maybe some scrap fabric.
Out of all of these, I would. This is the one that seems like it would be the most useful in day-to-day life. A lot of these are a little bit more of entertainment value, where this one, not to say it doesn't have entertainment value, but this one seems like one that would come in really in handy.
It's one of those things that it's just a good thing to know, like how to sew on a button, because buttons fall off.
Yeah, right.
To be able to wear those clothes, you kind of need buttons.
Next, knots.
Mm.
I don't remember a whole lot of them, and I miss my grandfather every day, but he'd be so mad at me right now if I said that he heard me say that out loud, because he's the one that taught me so many of them. That's a kind of a fun one for kids to learn, I think.
Yeah, and like when I went down to Historic Point Boss and for the Scout Campery, they were showing me how all the different knots that they could tie to put together different, you know, structures, and just the way that different knots work differently. It's really neat. And like with sail, when you're on a sailboat, you got to know some different knots.
Yeah.
I use different knots with the fiber art that I do with weaving. There's a lot of knots involved.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, knitting, crocheting, sewing, even, you need to know how to tie some simple knots.
I don't know if I've ever shared this or not with anybody, let alone on the air, but when my grandfather was first teaching me these things, and he was teaching me very military-based stuff and a lot of that, I was also just learning to tie my shoes. And I went through a lot of laces because I just thought that I should use some of these knots on my shoelaces. I mean, I didn't understand why wouldn't you, you know?
And then you couldn't get them untied.
They had to literally cut them like with the scissors. Had to come
off. Oh, boy.
But it showed that I learned the knots. I learned how to do them.
There you go.
They didn't see it that way. They did not see it that way.
That is something that if you don't practice it, you forget. You know, it's just like any skill. If you don't keep using it, you lose it.
I think similar off of that, juggling three balls. It looks impressive, but you can learn to do it in about a weekend.
I've dabbled with that now and then. Like, I can get all three up in the air and maybe catch a couple of them. It takes practice. An easy way to learn is to use, like, really light handkerchiefs.
Oh, that
or
is good.
Even Kleenexes. I mean, it's harder with Kleenexes. If you have some decent handkerchiefs, cloth handkerchiefs that are light, that they float a little bit, so you have time to catch them with your hands. You just do it the opposite way. Instead of like how you toss balls up, turn your hands over so that your fingers are facing down and you toss the other way.
I like that. Interesting. Juggling is one of those things that seems like it'd be kind of fun to know how to do it.
Yeah, it's a cool skill.
And you could learn four or five chords on the guitar and play a ton of different songs. I think a lot of people would be surprised how many songs, on guitar at least, don't really use that many chords.
Yeah. And if you want to go even easier, ukulele.
Yes.
Because it's easier to push down the strings. And there's one less string.
Yeah.
And a lot of chords only require you to hold down one string at a time. So
I have in I've got a bunch of different bookmarks and folders on my computer and everything, and one of them is for just items that you will probably never buy, James. There's a mandolin that's been on there forever that I want so bad, because I feel like if I were to actually buy it, because of the way my guilty conscience works, I'm not just going to buy it. I'm going to learn to play it, and I've just that's an instrument I've always wanted. That a violin. There's a couple of string instruments I've always wanted to learn. When I learned to play trumpet and cornet, I enjoyed them, but the whole time all I wanted to do was learn to play one of those instruments.
String instrument.
Yeah, I really like those, and it's something that feels like something I just got to do.
You've got time.
And finally on the list, although there are plenty of more things on the list that you could get into, you can go to AskReddit.com if you'd like to find the complete list, moonwalking. Now, it may seem difficult, but I guarantee you, if you got two left feet, everybody, you can do this. I learned to do it as a kid watching Michael. It was one of those early things that I taught myself, and a long history of that. And Melissa, I haven't done it in a long time, but I am standing up right now. I got to see if I can do it.
Yes, can you do it?
Yep.
Because
yep.
it does. Yeah.
These shoes aren't the greatest for it, but oh yeah.
And you're on carpet, so that's.
And I can still do it, even with all that. Come on, because it's really a rhythm thing. You're really what you're doing is you're the back. It's like you don't have a heel. You got to treat it like you don't have a heel. And just kind of, you're just going on the balls of your feet, kind of sliding. And it looks really cool. Like, it'll never get old. That's one move that will never get old, no matter who you are. The coolest thing is teaching it to a little kid. And once they get it down, like, it really, I guess, the majority of these things, that when you can teach them to somebody younger or something like that, when you see the look on their face when they get it, that's...
That light bulb goes on. It's a fun moment.
There are a few things that are more rewarding than that. It's a really cool feeling. So I think that's a fun list. That's a lot of interesting things on there. And all things that I think, especially, you're looking for something to do, or you're looking for things to, just learn. I think learning's just fun sometimes, and it doesn't always
keeps us young.
Yes. And as you and I have talked about, and we've talked about on this show quite a bit, we want your brain healthy, everybody. We want your brain healthy the older you get, no matter if you are 18 or you are 88. You are who we're talking to, and doing things like this, that is how you keep your brain healthy. That's how you keep your brain active, is finding new activities and giving it challenges.
And many of these things don't cost much money, if any.
Yeah, that's another big key to this, I think. I think that, even if you were, they don't sound that great. There's other options out there. Or even just giving something a try that seems a little interesting. I have to say that as soon as you said that about the juggling, now I got to try that. I was literally thinking, do I have three handkerchiefs? Do I have? I think that's a really cool. I've never heard that before. I think that's a really good way to do it. I like it. We like hanging out with you, everybody. We got another hour to do that. We are going to come back next hour. Not only will we have some good stories of the day, some local events going on in our area, and get into our schedule, but we are going to have some entertainment news. Got some fun stuff there we're going to get into. We're going to talk about what is a Y'alternative. We are going to look at what's new on your small screen. 10 celebrities with weird pets. I want to ask Melissa about the newsletter. And a little bit later, the most and least popular states in America, along with, if you're bored of where one of those cities, if you happen to live in one, we found cities that'll pay you to move to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's all coming up with Melissa and James right here at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Allison Keys. At least 7 people are in critical condition and 30 are hurt after a vehicle plowed into a crowd waiting in line to enter a Los Angeles nightclub early this morning. CBS's Elise Martinez is there.
124 firefighters set up a massive triage area here. They say about 30 people were injured. At least 7 are in critical condition, 6 in serious condition, 10 with minor injuries. 23 people in all were taken to the hospital.
President Trump has filed a $10 billion lawsuit against the Wall Street Journal over an alleged birthday card he wrote to the late convicted child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Dow Jones says it stands by its reporting. This as the Justice Department files a motion to unseal grand jury testimony in the Epstein case. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Following the outcry, the president urged Attorney General Pam Bondi to file a motion for the unsealing of grand jury testimony. In a Friday court filing, the DOJ cited special circumstances in asking for the public release of transcripts.
We're making
Jessica Levinson is a legal expert.
Unsealing this grand jury testimony, if it is ever unsealed, doesn't really give the public what I think they're interested in, client lists, photos, videos, etc.
The death toll from those floods in Texas on July 4th stands at 135 for now, but it is expected to rise as searches continue for those who are still missing. This woman is a volunteer.
We got a pinpoint of a location and we started scouring the river and we've spent hours worth of it. But I mean, the debris piles in some of these places are 2 stories high.
The Trump administration's immigration policies are hurting the construction industry in parts of the nation, including California. CBS's Carter Evans spoke with a contractor.
Petruska says this is already causing longer construction delays and greater competition for fewer crews.
When you find the people who are willing to do the job, they want probably double the hourly rate.
So what does that mean? Like for this home that is getting to the end stages here.
That means that the consumer is paying more.
What's killing bees in the nation? KOVR-TV's Dominic Garcia.
Researchers have struggled to explain why, but Steve says a new USDA report shows mites that infect hives have become immune to chemicals that are used to control them, specifically a chemical called amitraz.
And they bring it into the hive. If you get enough mites, you get too many viruses that the bees can't deal with, and it kills the hive off.
Other factors like climate and pesticides have not helped.
Scientists say millions of bees have died in the past year, and there are food production concerns. This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created ThisIsPretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit ThisIsPretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Emmett and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting...